The 1836 U.S. presidential election was a pivotal moment in American political history, and it provides an interesting lens through which to view the growth and development of the nation in the early 19th century. It wasn't just about who was running. It was about the issues that shaped the future of the country, the electorate that was beginning to expand, and the changing dynamics between two major political parties. And in many ways, when we look at the outcome, we see the election as one that could be described as a landslide, at least in some very significant ways. 1836 was a landslide. To understand the election, let's first focus on the candidates themselves. The incumbent president, Andrew Jackson, was running for re-election after a successful first term. He was already a towering figure in American politics, a symbol of the common man's rise to power, and a hero of the War of 1812. Jackson had become the face of the Democratic Party, and he had a deep connection with the electorate, particularly with ordinary citizens who saw him as their protector against the elite and establishment forces. His policies, especially his stance on the Bank of the United States, resonated with many Americans who felt left out of the political process. On the other side of the aisle, the Whigs, though not yet fully formed as a cohesive party, fielded multiple candidates in an attempt to challenge Jackson's dominance. The key candidate who emerged from this fractured opposition was Martin Van Buren, Jackson's vice president. Van Buren, who was a shrewd political operator, had been Jackson's ally in navigating the turbulent political landscape, and Jackson was keen to see him succeed. His position as vice president gave him an edge, but the presence of other Whig candidates like William Henry Harrison, Hugh Lawson White, and Daniel Webster made it unclear who the opposition's strongest contender would be. What made this election unique was that Jackson was not simply facing a single, unified opposition. The Whigs, despite having similar views on certain issues like the National Bank, were divided and were running multiple candidates in different regions. This division made it easier for Jackson to consolidate support and push through a broader agenda without facing a single, formidable challenger. As we'll see, this fragmentation of the Whigs would play a critical role in Jackson's decisive victory. Let's now zoom out a bit and consider the broader context of the election. The 1830s were a time of significant transformation in the United States. The country was still grappling with the consequences of the War of 1812, and the economy was shifting from a predominantly agrarian society to one that was becoming more industrialized, particularly in the northern states. At the same time, the South remained heavily reliant on agriculture and slavery, which created a rift between the two regions. There were also deep concerns about the growing power of federal institutions, particularly the Bank of the United States, which Jackson viewed as a threat to democracy itself. Jackson's opposition to the bank was one of the key issues that dominated the campaign. Jackson argued that the bank was a tool of the wealthy elite, a form of corruption that kept power in the hands of a few while undermining the common people. In contrast, Van Buren and the Whigs were seen as more pro-bank and more aligned with the interests of the upper class. This issue, more than any other, defined the political divide of the time. Jackson's supporters saw him as the defender of liberty against an overreaching government, while his opponents viewed him as a populist demagogue willing to trample on constitutional norms to get his way. The electorate in 1836 was also changing, particularly in terms of voter eligibility. The 1820s and 1830s saw significant changes to voting laws in many states, including the extension of suffrage to all white men, regardless of property ownership. This dramatically expanded the electorate and helped solidify Jackson's appeal. Jackson was seen as the candidate who represented the average American, the farmer, the laborer, the soldier, and his appeal among the working-class electorate was unmatched. The 1836 election was one of the first where we saw the power of mass political campaigning and the mobilization of a broad coalition of voters. Now, let's talk about the election itself. Jackson, despite the fractured opposition, ran a campaign that emphasized his achievements and presented him as the defender of the people. He had established himself as a forceful leader, and his popularity was unshakable among large sections of the American population. Meanwhile, Van Buren, while politically astute and well-connected, struggled to unite the Whig factions behind his candidacy. The multiple Whig candidates, each running with slightly different platforms and priorities, made it difficult for the opposition to present a coherent, unified front. This division among the Whigs worked to Jackson's advantage, allowing him to consolidate his base of support and ultimately secure a victory. The election results reflected this fragmentation. Jackson won a clear majority in the Electoral College, securing 219 votes to Van Buren's 50. While Jackson's total popular vote was not an overwhelming landslide, his win in the Electoral College was decisive. It was, in many respects, a political landslide. The disarray among the Whigs, combined with Jackson's formidable appeal, meant that the outcome was never truly in doubt once the votes were counted. In fact, the result of the 1836 election underscored the power of Jackson's political machine and the strong base of support he had cultivated throughout his first term. In many ways, the 1836 election can be seen as a landslide in the context of the time. Jackson's victory demonstrated the power of the executive office, the strength of Jacksonian democracy, and the growing influence of the common man in American politics. His win wasn't just a reflection of his popularity. It was a statement about the direction the country was heading in, with an increasingly powerful executive and a political culture that was becoming more inclusive to ordinary citizens. It's important to note that the landslide nature of Jackson's victory wasn't just about the final vote tally. It was about how thoroughly Jackson's ideas and political vision permeated the nation. Jackson's victory represented a clear rejection of the established elites and a triumph for populism. It also highlighted the fractured state of the opposition, both ideologically and organizationally. The Whigs, despite their best efforts, were unable to mount a unified challenge, and their lack of cohesion in 1836 marked the beginning of the eventual collapse of their first wave of opposition to Jacksonian policies. Looking back, the 1836 election holds a special place in American history. It was not only a landslide in terms of Jackson's commanding victory in the Electoral College, but also in the way it solidified Jackson's political dominance. The election ushered in an era of Democratic Party dominance and set the stage for the broader struggles over issues like slavery, federal power, and economic policy that would define American politics for decades to come. In conclusion, the 1836 U.S. presidential election was a defining moment in the story of American democracy. It wasn't just a contest between two men. It was a battle of ideologies, of visions for the future of the country, and of the forces that would shape the nation's political landscape. Jackson's landslide victory, especially in the Electoral College, was a clear sign that the tide was shifting in favor of a new political order, one that would prioritize the will of the people and challenge the entrenched elites who had previously held the reins of power. And in that sense, it was more than just an election. It was a statement about the direction the country was headed.